The Victorian government's inquiry into women's pain has exposed deep inequalities in how women's health concerns are treated and often dismissed across the state. The report, Bridging the Gender Pain Gap, makes 27 recommendations aimed at reshaping the system to better recognise and respond to women's experiences. To unpack what this means for women's health and what needs to change, I spoke to Kit McMahon, CEO of Women's Health in the Southeast.
So it says that it has been ignored, and it's been ignored systemically because of entrenched bias, because of a medical model that establishes that men's bodies are the norm, and really because the access drugs, the system, the services are all geared around that. The shared experiences of pain that women talk through and were shared so generously with the inquiry. So that was about 13,000 women. The women consistently told a story of their pain being dismissed, misdiagnosed, normalised, as well as ongoing stories, persistent stories of chronic pain and the trauma and the pain they carried because of other factors in their life, for instance, poor mental health, family violence, abuse. So it was a very rich and generous sharing that the women across Victoria did with the Victorian government, which absolutely, you know, is essential to our work, essential to government's work going on.
I wanted to ask about the report. Talks about the reference man bias in medicine. For those that aren't familiar with the concept, are you able to explain this?
Of course. So reference man is a term that actually came from a few different places over time. It sort of basically illustrates that when we design policy programs, services, buildings, testing regimes, whatever, we need a baseline. And the assumed baseline is a male body of a certain height that's able, that's probably implicitly got resources, is middle class, is white, probably speaks English as well. And we can see this through history. So originally, way back, some examples of that way back long ago, there was radiology, radiation testing was done on the assumption that the male, that the minimum requirements for radiation were tested on men, but we now know that women's bodies and children's bodies need less than that to be safe, right? Buildings, the way that buildings were designed for a certain type of person. They were not designed to reflect the fact that we live in a diverse society with different languages and different abilities and different genders. So when we talk about the reference man, we're actually talking about that implicit assumption that exists throughout our community, and in this case, our health system, that what we're delivering a service to is a type of person. And we're now also understanding that when it comes to taking women seriously, there's always been an assumption embedded, and this is what came through the studies, that there's an assumption that women's, there's two things that happens with women, that they're able to tolerate more pain, or that their expression that they're in pain is not to be believed.
And the inquiry makes quite a few recommendations, but what are the main reforms that could make the fastest real-world difference for women?
There is a real call for better workforce development around supporting those that work specifically with women, more transparent accountability through data and evaluation. Probably the thing that's going to make the quickest impact, though, is what I referred to before, scaling up some of these innovative pain medicines and treatments like the Green Whistle, but also the announcement of a specific centre for young women and adolescent girls at the Children's Hospital. I think that will be an absolute game changer for Victorian women. But I think the other thing that's really important is just this lift and heft now to believing women.
What's the biggest change you want to see from government in response to this report?
I think women not being an add-on to the health system would be the first one. The recognition that women come in all sizes, shapes and diversity. So this report beautifully recognises that, you know, the First Nations women have a particular experience and need specific support, as they're cold, and migrant women with disabilities as well. We know that gay, LGBTIQ plus women who identify across the spectrum also have specific needs. So that's probably for me the biggest one, that they're not an add-on. But also how we can actually do things to make sure that the health systems and services, when they're designed well, actually centre the lived experience of women in their community. And I think that's going to be the biggest return over time that we can hope for.
CEO of Women's Health in the Southeast, Kit McMahon there, ending that report.